What's up, everybody? Welcome to the special edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A. You know I'm coming at you usually every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of Sirius XM, POTUS Radio Channel 124, but at least a couple of times a week I try to come on my YouTube show just to tease the kind of things that I'm going to talk about, the kind of things that are percolating on the minds of a lot of people and touching on it in that regard. The other day, I was planning on coming on the air today talking about Zohran Mamdani, the mayor of New York City, and whether you want to call it hypocrisy or political maneuvering, whatever way you wanted to slice it, the bottom line is you could say what you wanted to say, but I was going to broach that subject to talk about the things that he said, how it's diametrically opposed to apparently what he's doing, and how that's working for or against him as the mayor of New York City. I'll get into all of that in just a few minutes, but the first order of business is to touch on the president of the United States, Donald Trump, his administration, and his electing to join Israel in essentially attacking Iran. So we can slice it any way we want to, and we can get into the particulars how Israel is attacking its leaders, and it's killed. The Ayatollah Khomeini, he's dead, along with Ahmadinejad, the former president of Iran, along with a few of their top senior officials, along with the fact that, you know, the United States of America got into attacking some of their sites where they were purportedly building nuclear weapons. I'm not here to get into all of those specific details. As an overviewer, from a macro perspective, the bottom line is this. You've attacked Iran. And because you've attacked Iran, there's a lot of people that are incredibly, incredibly uncomfortable with it. You got the Democrats in an uproar that believe this is a violation of the United States Constitution because United States Congress is the one who is supposed to declare war, and they consider this an act of war. Their attitude is if you're attacking another sovereignty territory and you're killing its leader, if somebody came to the United States and, you know, attacked the president of the United States and ultimately killed him, it would be considered an act of war. That's their interpretation of it. Others obviously are diametrically opposed, and they lean on a couple of things. And I think those are the kind of things that we're going to talk about right now. First thing first, for those out there that want to look at it and they want to say that the president has violated the Constitution, I'll get into his hypocrisy in just a second, because right there, I'm showing you on the screen, Americans say they back U.S. strikes on Iran. Only 1 in 4 Americans say they back U.S. strikes in Iran. Obviously, they're concerned about us attacking another sovereign state, attacking another country, killing its leader, and ultimately potentially provoking war. The United States is saying, no, not so fast. One of the things they're leaning on is the president's power, according to the Constitution. Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of the United States Constitution, I'm reading from it right here, it declares the president to be the commander-in-chief of the Army, Navy, and state militias. Presidents often cite this power to justify unilateral military action without immediate congressional approval, specifically to defend U.S. citizens or respond to threats. So if you're President Trump, what you're saying is that this is an existential threat. Obviously, Iran was noted for trying to kill him personally, so you kind of knew that he was looking to retaliate, no doubt about that. He's going to lean on Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution to make his case as to why he doesn't consider this an act of war, which means he doesn't have to contact Congress, and he can move forward with that, even though Secretary of State Marco Rubio spoke to officials within the United States government to alert them to what was transpiring. Van Jones did something interesting. He went on went on social media, and he put something out there. He posted it on his X account, and it says, for military strikes against military strikes. And he put it up there, and put it up there for me, Griff, right now, so our viewers can see what points Van Jones was making. This is for the military strikes. Countries have a right to self-defense under Article 51 of the UN Charter. For Israel, two top law professors argued Israel and Iran have been in an ongoing conflict for years, making the strikes a legal continuation, not a new war. Arguments against the military strikes. Trump didn't go to Congress. Leading international law scholars have called the strikes indefensible and a manifest violation of the UN Charter. A 57-member petition of legal scholars reached the same conclusion. And last but not least, the administration's own intelligence chief said in 2025, Iran is not building nuclear weapons. That's what they're saying. Okay. Other argument from a humanitarian. That was from a legal perspective. From a humanitarian perspective, according to Van Jones and what he put on Twitter, it says here, four military strikes. The Islamic Republic has brutalized its citizens for 47 years. The regime admitted 3,117 died in recent crackdowns. Activist groups say 7,000 plus. Leaked IRGC documents suggest 36,500 plus. On Valentine's Day, over a million Iranians rallied worldwide for an end to the oppressive dictatorship in Iran. And last but not least, few countries free themselves from dictatorship without outside military help. As from a humanitarian perspective, against the military strikes, Iraq and Libya taught us what happens when you knock down a government without a plan for what comes next. In both cases, the people who paid the price, highest price, were the same ones we said we were saving. And long military operations mean broken supply chains, medicine shortages, lost homes are the very people everyone is concerned about. That's basically it. I'm not going to belabor that point. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Why are we surprised? What Benjamin Netanyahu wants, he seems to get from President Trump. Let's just get that out the way right now. To me, here's what I'm pointing to. If you've got folks like Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis in Yemen as proxies for you, as a sponsor of terror, then you know eventually you've got to be dealt with. My problem is the president told us months ago they were already dealt with. He said that their nuclear sites had been obliterated, that they weren't a threat, that we wiped them out. We obliterated them. Well, if you obliterated them, what was the need for the attack now? I mean, that's a legitimate question to ask. It just is. And then when you take into account, because with this president, you just have to ask, what's the personal benefit? I don't know if y'all saw this or not. And it's just me with my spidey senses tingling, nothing more. But I saw something about Donald Trump Jr. and some drone company. And here it is, right here, via Rebecca Crosby and Noel Sims, via Popular Information. In October, Popular Information reported that the Pentagon awarded a contract to Unusual Machines, an obscure drone company that President Donald Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., joined as an advisor in November 2024, despite having no notable experience with drones or military contracting. Now, another small startup funded by 1789 Capital, a venture capital firm where Trump Jr. is a partner, will receive a $620 million loan from the Defense Department, the Financial Times reported. Vulcan Elements, which currently has around 30 employees, produces rare earth magnets, which can be used in drones, radar systems, and other military applications. The contract was awarded just 3 months after the 1789 invested in Vulcan. So you're talking about a $620 million loan from the Defense Department, okay? Combined with the Pentagon awarding a contract to Unusual Machines. You can't make this up. You can't make this up. This is the same president that talked about building hotels in Gaza. It's the same president with children that find a way to profit. You got a son-in-law that's involved in every meeting in the Middle East. We got a tariff war where supposedly trillions of dollars are going to be generated for the United States of America. Is it far-fetched to assume that the president and his family will somehow benefit? I mean, we were born at night, not last night. I'm just saying. And I'm not judging, believe it or not, I'm not judging here or there, because as long as America stands to benefit, I'm not worried about the dollars in your pocket. As long as the primary beneficiary is the United States of America for all the right reasons, I'm good with it. Because as far as I'm concerned, most times when it comes to politics, you can find crooks everywhere. You can find people who do stuff that's politically expedient for their financial gain everywhere. It's not new. So let's not act like it is. And then we got to remember the proposed military by Trump for 2027. Before these strikes, he was asking for $1.5 trillion. Now, keep in mind, he was asking for this while a mini shutdown is still going on. He was asking for this while TSA workers are still not paid. This isn't the full-fledged shutdown that existed months ago. But he's still asking for these things and still putting out requests for these things while federal workers are getting laid off. Now, we know we're over $38 trillion in debt. We get that part. But the other part that we've got to pay attention to is the fact that despite being in debt, let's not use that as an excuse as to why these cuts are taking place. These cuts are taking place because when it comes to the right, when it comes to the GOP, their objective is always to shrink government. That's why they could get away with cutting thousands of federal employees. By the way, when you're talking about a vast majority of them being women, particularly in the federal workforce, you know it's alarming. Don't get me started on how many of them are black women. Don't get me started on that because the numbers vary. But I think the number was hovering around 33% if I remember correctly. You can't make this stuff up. And in the midst of all of that's happening, did you see the article by Kristi Noem about Kristi Noem, Secretary Department for Homeland Security? Oh, is this woman tripping? Putting in requests to buy in excess of $300 million in private jets. Swearing up and down, it's to transport migrants back to their homeland, but it seats 18 people and got a couple of bathrooms and a bedroom. Really? Really? That's transporting migrants, huh? That's what it's doing, right? That is the same woman. You understand that when she was, I forgot whether, I think it was, I don't know if it's South Dakota or whatever, but spent some taxpayer dollars now. Spent some taxpayer, that's South Dakota. Spent some taxpayer dollars. I think it was in excess of $150 million of their money when she wanted to jazzy up her residence or whatever her workplace was. And now she's overseeing the Department of Homeland Security. So we've got people that are not receiving paychecks while working for our government in TSA and other places. We've got numerous people being laid off, furloughed, not receiving checks, etc. for our federal government, who's supposedly struggling with money. But you can ask for $1.5 trillion for defense. And you could let Kristi Noem and the Department of Homeland Security get a real, real big time chunk of the budget so they could buy private jets and all of that other stuff. Living at taxpayer expense, by the way. What she need a jet for? Why you got to travel? How come you can't work from D.C.? You ain't one of the boots on the ground, literally in attendance when ICE is fighting folks in the streets of America, whether it's Chicago, Portland, L.A., or wherever else you want to pick. I mean, you ain't on there. What you need to travel for? But this is what happens under the Trump administration, which brings us to the real part in all of this. I'm not going to get into the details about lives that are lost. Three American soldiers were murdered. God rest their soul. My condolences, heartfelt, to their family and loved ones. We don't wish that on anybody. We also have to remember that when the bombing took place, President Trump didn't come across as the most sensitive dude in the world. He even talked about how lives were going to be lost. And according to the latest reports, children in an elementary school in Iran were killed. That's a damn shame. And obviously the fallout that comes from that, with Iran retaliating as best as it possibly could, bombing a hotel in Dubai, even though a five-star hotel in Dubai, even though we don't even have an American military base there. Not to mention what they tried to do in Bahrain and other places where you do have military bases with American soldiers. I don't know if the Democrats are going to get away with saying that he violated the Constitution by doing so. But there is no question that they have reasons for their suspicion. I'm going to disagree with Representative Madeline Dean out of Pennsylvania, who called the president unserious Unfortunately, he's very serious. And unfortunately, there's very, very serious consequences. And the reason why I brought up Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, and I do so unapologetically, is because I know many folks within the Jewish community that don't necessarily vibe with him. When Israel was invaded, and both Americans and Israelis were kidnapped on October 7th in 2023, a lot of people felt he dropped the ball. You have some people within the Jewish community who are skeptic of his tactics. And they would veer towards diplomacy, even though they want Hamas and Hezbollah destroyed. And obviously, you can't allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon, not when they're chanting death to America, death to Israel, and wanting Israel wiped off the face of the map. You can't have them that close, knowing the inordinate amount of bombs they've tried to drop on Israel and let them get in possession of a nuclear weapon. I totally get that and understand it. Except that with this administration, you're always wondering whether or not there was a better way. And if you're so right and you're so righteous, why not communicate with Congress? Why not make sure that the people who need to know do know? All members of the Senate Intelligence Committee, along with the House and everybody in between. Because a lot of them do consider this an act of war. But this is where we are. This is the world that we're living in. And it's a lot to take into consideration, but it is what it is. On our home front, we've got some issues going on here too. And I watched the news last week, you know, with Mamdani, Zohran Mamdani, the mayor of New York City, taking a special trip to the nation's capital. It was a secret, unannounced second trip to the White House. He had been there before. You remember on November 21st, Mamdani visited the White House for the first time. And obviously him and Trump emerged from that meeting smiling. Trump said, quote, "They agree on a lot more than I would have thought," end quote, and pledged to work together with Mamdani. And Trump had backed off his threats to cut federal funds and send the National Guard to New York City. Trump even went so far as to call the meeting with Mamdani a great honor on social media. Before I go into that, however, I want to remind you of what their relationship was like prior to Mamdani getting elected. Because somewhere along the way, I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm simply reminding you of who the hell I am. And the fact that I'm not taking sides. I'm a registered independent. There are some things I agree with the conservatives about. There are some things I agree with the liberals about. And I go on a case-by-case basis. And people abhor that. Get the hell over it. I'm not changing. I'm not going to sit up there and just fall on one side of the aisle no matter what either side does. When you're right, I say you're right. When I think you're wrong, I'll say you're wrong. But it's something to point out, and I think as my team is on this call and people are looking at me and people are watching me bring this stuff up, whether it was with Jasmine Crockett, Gavin Newsom, Governor Pritzker, Mayor Johnson in Chicago, the list goes on and on. All I've been trying to say is that whether you like it or not, Donald Trump is not going away until 2028, I'm sorry. He's not going away. He's going to be the president until 2028. I mean, as much as that people may be abhorred by that in some circles, he's not going away. There's nothing you can do about it. Do I think he's going to be able to circumvent the 22nd Amendment of the Constitution and run for a third term? No. If he was somehow able to pull that off, I would be recruiting Barack Obama to run against him. Let's get it on. But I don't think that's happening. And I think that when we see what happened with Iran and the fact that Marco Rubio was in the middle of it all as Secretary of State, but J.D. Vance, the vice president, had very, very little to do with it. Clearly, he has been pushed back. Clearly, Marco Rubio has gained traction, and clearly, in my estimation, unless something catastrophic happens, Marco Rubio is going to be the Republican nominee for the presidency of the United States of America in 2028. I think we're seeing J.D. Vance slip. Slip. I'll get into Tucker Carlson and what he's had to say about all of this another day, because obviously he finds and sides with J.D. Vance more favorably than he does with Trump, Rubio, or anybody else. We'll get into that another day. But I noticed that transpiring. But I digress. I want to get back to Mamdani, because Mamdani is a bigger issue. And I'm not toot my own horn. I'm not patting myself on the back. I just think this is an example of what I've been trying to say. I keep reminding y'all, I don't want us falling to fear mongering and all of this other stuff to decide who our commander in chief is going to be every 4 years. I want your policies up against their policies. We pick the ones who have the best policies. We make sure that they cater to America's interests first, but just as importantly, as a black man, the black community. I want us to stand up and say, hey, flatter me. Work for my vote. Don't think that it automatically comes your way. You got to earn it. We've been giving the Democratic Party our vote above 80% since the 60s. I'm not saying that should change. I'm saying let them earn it. As opposed to not doing anything for us, focusing on even smaller constituents than us, because we make up 13.6% of the population. Stop concerning yourself with 1% of the population, if not less, when it comes to the interests of this country and the interests of communities that fall under the purview of this country. Look out for us. And don't just be in our face saying that the other side is racist. So don't vote for them. Like I'm supposed to believe you're not. Nah. Flatter me. You want me to buy a house? Show me the house. Flatter me. You want me to buy a car? Let me test drive it. Flatter me. You want me to buy some clothes, this fly ass suit I got on right now? Flatter me. Let me see it on me. I ain't giving you anything. Earn it. That's all I'm saying. And I bring that up because it's relevant. Do you remember when Mamdani was running for office? Throughout the campaign, he repeatedly called Trump's quote-unquote worst nightmare. Remember his victory speech on election night in November? He went further, calling Trump a despot and declaring that if anyone could show how to defeat him, it's the city that gave rise to him. Remember how Trump fired back at that time in November? Just November. It's only March now. This is November. Trump fired back, calling Mamdani, quote, a communist and someone who doesn't know a damn thing, while also threatening to withhold federal funds from New York City. But just days after Mamdani won, remember, he publicly declared Trump was a fascist, a despot, and said Trump was, quote, attacking democracy, end quote. Used the language consistently during the campaign. Trump, in turn, had called them a communist lunatic and a Jew hater and threatened to send the National Guard to New York City and cut billions in federal funding if Mamdani was elected. Fast forward. 3 months later, once Mamdani pivoted, first he visited the White House for the first time. Next thing you know, Trump backed off of threats to cut federal funding and sending the National Guard to New York City. Quote, right now, other places need it more, Trump said. When a reporter asked Mamdani if he still considered Trump a fascist, Trump jumped in with a joke. That's okay. You can just say yes. It's easier than explaining it. Then patted Mamdani on the back. Did y'all forget that? Fast forward to last week. Mamdani makes a secret unannounced second trip to the White House. Why? He wanted to get an immigrant that was a Columbia University student who was being detained by ICE, released. If I mispronounce the name, forgive me. It's Elamina Akhayeva, Azerbaijan. That's where she's from. Shortly after the meeting, Trump called Mamdani directly and told him, she was being released from ICE detention. Mom Donnie right there just got off the phone with President Trump in our meeting. I shared my concerns about her, who was detained by ICE this morning. He just informed me that she will be released imminently. And sure enough, Trump kept his word. By the way, that was the second reason Mom Donnie went there. The first reason is that he proposed a $21 billion plan to build 12,000 units of affordable housing in Queens. One of the largest federal housing investments in modern history. If you remember, Trump posed for photos holding a mock Daily News cover of Mom Donnie. Mom Donnie brought reading to him. Trump to the city, let's build. Remember, Mom Donnie brought two newspaper front pages, the famous 1975 Gerald Ford to the city drop dead cover and a mock version of it with Trump's face reading, Trump to the city, let's build. Trump grinning and holding both up for the cameras and not ruling out the possibility that he'll get federal funding for the housing project. Chess, not checkers. Chess, not checkers. Mom Donnie pivoted. By the way, it didn't stop Mom Donnie from calling him out once he elected to bomb Iran again. Let's look at that tweet. Put that up, please. This is Mom Donnie. Today's military strikes on Iran carried out by the United States and Israel mark a catastrophic escalation and an illegal war of aggression, bombing cities, killing civilians, opening a new threat of war. Americans do not want this. They do not want another war in pursuit of regime change. They want relief from the affordability crisis. They want peace. I'm focused on making sure that every New Yorker is safe. I have been in contact with our police commissioner and emergency management officials. We're taking proactive steps, including increasing coordination across agencies and enhancing patrols of sensitive locations out of an abundance of caution. Additionally, I want to speak directly to the Iranian New Yorkers. You are part of the fabric of this city. You are our neighbors, small business owners, students, artists, workers, and community leaders. You will be safe. Do you notice what Mom Donnie did, ladies and gentlemen? He did not call Trump out of his name. He did not insult the president. He simply disagreed and said so because he has bigger fish to fry, like the $21 billion he's looking for in federal funding. Chess, not checkers. Chess, not checkers. It's very simple. It's not that damn complicated. If you're going to figure it out. Another person who could speak to this is Governor Gretchen Whitmer out of Michigan. Remember during the 2024 campaign trail, she was stumping for Kamala Harris? After the election, after Kamala Harris lost, what did she do? She made a calculated pivot. Vowing to work with Trump on Michigan's core economic interest. Visited the White House three times, took a collaborative tone, focused on shared priorities like manufacturing, defense, and the Great Lakes. She was careful not to publicly attack Trump, even as she disagreed with his tariff policies. What did it get her? She secured 21 new F-15X Eagle II fighter jets for Selfridge Air National Guard Base, a base that supports 5,000 jobs and $850 million in annual economic income. Trump even called her on stage at the event, praised her as very effective, and said she'd done, quote, a very good job. She also secured Great Lakes invasive carp funding and federal disaster relief for northern Michigan's ice storm. Quote from Trump, she's a Democrat. They said, don't have her here. I said, no, she's going to be here. She's done a very good job. Chess, not checkers. Chess, not checkers, because it ain't about you and how you feel individually about him. It's about the constituents you represent. $850 million, 5,000 jobs. She saved it by going there and not insulting him. Disagreeing, yes. Insulting, no. He didn't care that you disagreed with him. He cares if you insult him. Why should that matter? Because he's the president. And you need federal help. And he can maneuver federal help because he has both houses of Congress available to him, at least until the midterms. That's how. Chess, not checkers. Another person who listened to that advice, Eric Adams, former mayor of New York City. All it did was keep him out of jail. That's all it did. Figuratively speaking, it wasn't much when Nicki Minaj got the gold card. It doesn't make her automatically a citizen or whatever, but she damn sure don't worry about having to be deported if he's here. Chess, not checkers. Meanwhile, what are the examples of those who prefer to do otherwise? Gavin Newsom, we know he's positioned himself as Trump's chief antagonist from day one, called a special legislative session to, quote unquote, Trump-proof California right after the 2024 election, and has relentlessly trolled Trump on social media, called Trump temporary at the Munich Security Conference, rather, passed state laws challenging federal policies, launched lawsuit after lawsuit against Trump administration actions, mockingly engaged Trump in social media battles. So what did Trump do? He scrapped $1.2 billion in federal funding for California's hydrogen hub. 200,000 plus jobs threatened. 200,000 jobs threatened. The administration canceled additional grants across multiple California programs. Trump repeatedly attacks Newsom by calling him new scum. Told reporters the two worst and most naive governors in the nation are Newsom and Pritzker. With Pritzker, he's been the most combative against Trump. We all know this. Told Democrats they should give Republicans not a moment of peace. Declared Trump had, quote, no idea what he's talking about. Held press conferences opposing Trump's immigration crackdown, called Trump's actions a political attack on Democratic states, rallied other Democratic governors to resist. What did Trump do? The administration froze $10 billion in welfare. $10 billion in welfare. Welfare funding across five Democratic-led states, with Illinois as a primary target. Trump threatened to send National Guard troops and immigration agents into Chicago. We know this. How about Mayor Brandon Johnson of Chicago? We know he's been a disaster. Ain't no way around that. Okay, you see black citizens in Chicago complaining about him. He's been one of the most vocal progressive critics of Trump's immigration agenda and has openly clashed with the administration on multiple fronts. Okay? Aligned with Pritzker to hold joint press conferences against Trump's immigration raids, refused to cooperate with ICE, publicly called out Trump's characterization of Chicago as a hellhole. So what does Trump do? Cuts grants for gun violence prevention programs in Chicago. The administration threatened to stage a major immigration enforcement blitz into the city. Trump publicly called Chicago the worst and most dangerous city in the world, a line that fueled the confrontation. So in closing, what do we have? Democrats who played nice and secured wins, federal housing funds, ICE detainee released, 21 fighter jets, Great Lakes funding, disaster relief, federal corruption charges dropped entirely. Democrats who resisted and faced his wrath, Newsom, $1.2 billion hydrogen hub cut, targeted grants cancellations, Pritzker, $10 billion welfare freeze, National Guard threats and lawsuits, Johnson, Mayor Johnson, gun violence grants, immigration raids, public mockery. None of this is to applaud Trump. $10 billion in welfare funding across five Democratic-led states. No way in hell he should be applauded for that. He should be ashamed. Gun violence prevention programs in Chicago? You cut grants for that? While wanting the streets to be safe? If you did that, you might not have to send the National Guard. But here you are doing that. Newsom. I'm not going to completely condemn Newsom because Trump calling him Newsom, calling him out his name, disrespecting him. I get all of that. But in the end, what it shows is that those who at least make an effort to appease the commander in chief get favorable treatment more so than those who don't. I'm so surprised. No, Obama wouldn't do something like this. No, Biden in all likelihood didn't do something like this. No, Hillary Rodham Clinton probably would not have done something like this. The list goes on and on. I get it. But in the end, you deal with the hand that you're dealt. We got a president that swore up and down and condemned President Obama on numerous occasions with one soundbite after another, one post over social media after another, pointing out how Obama wanted to go to war with Iran so he could he could get reelected. Obama wanted war. Obama wanted this and that. I always said Barack Obama would attack Iran in some form prior to the election. 2011, in order to get elected, Barack Obama will start a war with Iran. That's what he said. Barack Obama will attack Iran in order to get reelected. And here he is doing it. You're damn right it's hypocritical. You're damn right he's full of it. In 2013, remember what I previously said? Obama will someday attack Iran in order to show how tough he is. Well, what the hell is the president doing? You could say appeasing Benjamin Netanyahu and some within the Jewish community. You could say that. But considering his children, the drone company, considering his son-in-law and his wheeling and dealings throughout the Middle East, somehow it's not far-fetched to assume that Trump will find a way to benefit individually and for his family along the way. We know this. The question is, knowing it, what are you going to do about it? Other than whine and moan about what he's doing. You better figure it out. And if you don't figure it out, you better figure out a way to have a better relationship with this man for the next couple of years. That is how you move forward. Chess, not checkers. Whether it's stuff abroad, like Iran, or whether it's stuff on the home front. You got to find a way to balance things out and get something out of it. Period. Chess, not checkers. See y'all Wednesday night on Straight Shooter. Stephen A., Sirius XM, POTUS Radio, Channel 124. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, peace and love. I'm out.